Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We've already prayed over our children this morning, so they are blessed and highly favored. Yeah. Anointing over our teachers who teach them as well. Amen. Amen. What a blessing to see that altar fill up full of kids and church and school staff too. Yeah. To see the favor of God and what all God is doing in that group of people and in Word of Deliverance. Amen. Last Sunday, we celebrated 17 plus baptisms, and a large portion of them were youth. What a beautiful sight it was to see them line up and say, I want to get baptized, or baptized, whichever way you want to say it. Amen. And then for some of them to come back and tell their parents later, Mom, I feel different since I got baptized. How precious. Amen. How beautiful. Our most prized possession and our greatest level of success is not our bank account. It's not a name we make for ourselves. It's who we raise. And whether you raise them in your own house or raise them for somebody else, when you pour into the life of a child, you will never regret pouring into the life of the child. And what God will bring back is good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. We often equate that to money. You know, if you give, God will give back to you. How many believe in being a giver? Yeah. Amen. And I was taught early to be a giver, to be a tither, to sow into the kingdom, to give my tithes and my alms. And so we often equate that with our giving, and I believe in giving. I mean, no, the church is only what it is because of those who have a heart to give. When the giving stops, the church ceases. It's really just that simple. There's not an organization over us that's going to come in. Amen? But by the heart of this house and those who give, the nations of the world are being touched and lives are being changed. And so to that, I thank you. But the scripture says, give and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. How many of you ever had to put something in a jar and then shake it down to get more in it? Yeah. Yeah, that's the idea of the shaken down, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. Will God give back into your bosom? That scripture is often, as I said, in context of giving, but it's also in context of giving forgiveness. If you read a couple scriptures right up above it, it's talking about forgive, and you'll be forgiven. How many know it's about sowing into other people's life? When you give kindness, kindness will come back to you. When you give mercy, mercy will come back to you. When you give compassion, compassion will come back to you. When you give into the kingdom, it will come back to you. Because it is a principle that God has put in place. And I often have to stop for a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus, that your word is true. You know, and even, you know, in mindsets sometimes, and Dr. Howell shares this sometimes, and I will say it also, never be apologetic for the blessing of God in your life. Sometimes we feel guilty or we want to apologize or, you know, we think. But I want to tell you, if you believe in the principle of the kingdom and it's an operation in your life, you ought to thank God for what he's doing in your life. Amen? Because it is the favor of the Lord that rests on each and every one of us in here. Amen. And so I want to talk a little bit, maybe in a series, I want to talk about next level. I want to talk about next level. We've talked about in the last little bit, we've talked about Pentecost. We talked about Pentecost Sunday. We talked about an upper room experience when the power of God came in like the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house. How many believe the Spirit of God will fill the house? I felt the Spirit of God blow through this house this morning. But it will fill this house. Amen? And I think so often we forget to operate out of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in the house. Yeah. Amen? We allow our mind or our thoughts to take power over the spirit that's at work in us. And so it will fill all the house. How many know when it filled the house, it commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Jesus gave them the command, and then he said he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. How many know there's a breath greater than your breath? It's called the breath of God that breathes upon us, breathes upon our mind, breathes upon. And I don't know about you, but I felt the breath of God before in my life. I felt the breath of God come over me. I felt the breath of God activate. And it didn't necessarily change the situation, but it changed how I operated in the midst of the situation. Amen. I mean, no, chaos happens in our lives. But when we learn to live out of the realm of the spirit instead of the realm of the external, amen, God will do great and mighty things among us. And so what they began to do was preach the gospel to every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Amen. And so they began to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Jesus said he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. And to as many as received him, he gave them power. How many know there were many who received the message of the gospel of Jesus and the work of the cross? And there were those who did not receive. They rejected him. They crucified him. They buried him. Amen? They challenged him. But he began to preach, and then he told the disciples, he said, I want you to now go into the highways and the byways, and I want you to compel them to come in, that my house might be full. I mean, no, he invited the highways and the byways, but he also invited the crippled, the lame, the halt, the blind. And I'm going to tell you, he's not just talking about physical ailments, but I believe he's the healer of physical ailments. And I mean, there are those who are spiritually blind. There are those who are spiritually deaf. There are those who are spiritually crippled. There are those who have been rejected, those who are outcast, those who thought they did not have a place at the table. And Jesus said, you call them and you tell them to come in that my house might be full. I mean, Jesus is in the business of opening blind eyes, opening the ears of the deaf, healing the crippled places of our life. Aren't you thankful for that? You do not have to, you might have been in a place, but you don't have to take up residency there. He will take you through. Through is the key word. Amen. And so the disciples, they began to preach the gospel to all the world. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he begins to preach. First sermon ever recorded that we know of by Peter, right? He stands up on the day of Pentecost, says, men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. How many of you believe that is still true today? If ever there is anything that will change a culture, change a community, change a nation, change a home, it is the Spirit of God in operation. Amen. Amen. And oftentimes, I see people who are drawn to certain ministry or whatever, and what they don't understand is it's not the person, but it's the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit that they feel when that word is coming to pass. Amen. There should be something about the message or the word this morning that resonates with every person in here in some way. But if I met you at the door as you leave today and ask you, what did I say today, or what was God saying to you, all of you would probably have a different connection to the sermon this morning, right? Because God knows your heart. He knows the need of your heart. And he will cause you to have ears to hear what you need to hear this morning to bring about the bounty and the beauty that he wants to bring about in your life. Do you believe that today? Amen. That's why the word is so precious. And so they began to preach the gospel, and they began to go into all the world, and they began to baptize. He said, baptize, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or even unto the end of the age. I mean, he's talking about that age. But I want to talk about next level thinking. How many know you cannot bring change in your life if you don't first start with the way you think? Amen. Amen? My mom used to say, you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? That if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got, right? The change has to first take place in our heart and in our mind. Our desires. Like if we want something new, if we want to, I mean, know the biggest stumbling block, I believe, in success or going to the next level in God is fear. And most of the time it's fear of failure. Amen. Amen? If I said to you this morning, what would you do today if there was no fear of failure in it? What would you do? Everybody's going to hit on a different level, right? I got some ideas of what I would do. But, I mean, if that voice comes to you and says, but what if it doesn't work? What if you go bankrupt? What if, you know, what if it doesn't happen? All of those questions. But my statement to you today is, what if it does? What if it would work? What if it does? What if it is God speaking to you about taking you to the next level in your thinking, next level in your relationship with Him? For some of you, it may be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it might be baptism. How many know baptism is a next level thinking? Because what we do when we go to the water, that's why I love baptisms. Like I'm out there and I am having the time of my life, right? Because it is next level. It is people making the step to say, I am making an open confession that Jesus is Lord of my life, that all the old is buried with Him, and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it's that step of faith to say, I'm going to put myself out there for accountability. Amen? One of the things, if you are thinking about changing your life, changing your lifestyle, changing your diet, is accountability. Right? And so there's a level of accountability that comes with baptism when you say, I am making this step of faith. I want all that God has for me. I am burying everything behind me. How many know the scripture says that you are a new creation, that you buried that old man? Romans 6 said, how can we live any longer like that if that person is dead? Everybody say, dead is dead. Amen. Buried. We didn't just throw dirt, we buried, right? The only way that we can even relate to that old person is if we go back and dig up what we buried. Somebody say amen. I am not carrying a dead man around on my back. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is a brand new day. And if I want to go to my next level in my relationship with the Lord, I got to do some next level thinking. And that next level thinking is, what's next, Lord? What do you have in store for me next? I love something that, I don't know if it was Georgia or Carolina, said to me not too long ago. And they had a teacher that said that anytime you would say to them, I can't do this, that teacher would say, yet. I can't do this yet. How many know that's a whole different mindset? I have not conquered it right now. I have not conquered it yet. But yet gives me an open door that I'm still going to get there. Come on, somebody. That I'm still going to get there. I have not mastered skiing yet. But that's a next level thinking for some of you guys. I value my bone structure more than I desire the ability to ski. Can somebody say amen? And so sometimes it is our own thoughts. Can anybody agree with me in here this morning? It is our own thoughts that is our biggest obstacle. You know, I got people talking about fighting the devil all the time. And how many know there is an enemy of our soul? But can I tell you that when I have a bad day, it's not because the devil is victorious over me. Come on, somebody. The scripture says he rendered him powerless at the cross. He is now only a roaring lion just seeking. He's only the thought, but I want to tell you, I don't give him my address. That even in the midst of chaos and doubt and fear and struggles, I'm going to look for the favor of God because I am blessed and I am highly favored, and I refuse to live in any other mindset other than the fact that God is going ahead of me and making a way where there seems to be no way. You say, well, Pastor Lisa, I struggle on this. And, you know, every time I think I get three steps ahead, you know, the devil knocks me down. Quit giving him your address. And if he shows up at your door, let Jesus get it. Let him answer the door. Come on, somebody. But I believe we need to come to a higher level thinking that in my own strength, I am nothing. But I know who is in me, and he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. And I'm a pretty big asker and a pretty big thinker. Come on, anybody in the room with me today? I'm going to ask big. I'm going to think big, because if I want to get to the next level, I got to have next level thinking. Right? And so they began to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I want to go to Acts chapter 8 this morning. It's where I want to take my text. I kind of felt like the Lord shifted a little bit on me this morning in the middle of worship. So this was in the notes, but it's a little bit of a shift. So we're going to go there. They're all good back there. I didn't shift any scriptures. You're good. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 8 this morning. Now, just ahead of this scripture, if we went back to the top of the scripture, let me just set the scene for you. Philip has just gone and preached to the Samaritans. Samaria. The Samaritans. How many know the Samaritans were not loved by the Jews? They were considered outcast. They were considered traitors in a lot of the way. They were considered to be less than full-blooded Jewish people. Amen? Jesus sets a precedence with us. When he goes, he tells the disciples, you go on ahead, but I have a need to go to Samaria. How many know Jesus did not expect anything out of the disciples that he didn't first model himself? He said, I have a need to go through Samaria. Now, to set the scene for that, Jews did not go through Samaria. They did not have acquaintances with Samaritans. They did not stop, as in the Good Samaritan. They walked on the other side so as not to contaminate themselves because of their culture and their values. It was not kosher. It's not allowed. Jesus sits down on the well, and there's a woman who comes to the well in the middle of the day so as not to face everybody in the morning at the well, and Jesus begins to speak to her, and she is a Samaritan. She's blown away by the fact, she said, why would you, let me just ask you this, because I'm confused. Why would you, a Jew, ask me, a woman, Samaritan, for a drink. She's blown away that he's even sitting on her well. And he looks at her and he said, "Darling, if you would just ask me for a drink, go ahead, ask me. I would give you a drink of living water that you would never thirst again." And she said, "How are you going to give me a drink? Because this well is very deep and you don't even have a bucket." Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but find the humor in that statement. Anybody else see the humor in that statement? You don't have a bucket. Do we not relate to this Samaritan woman? When God begins to speak to us and say, "I want to take you to another level," and our response is, "How did you get here? Why are you on my well and you don't have a bucket?" Now, I find the humor in it, and the fact that the man who was in the beginning, who breathed into man and he became a living soul, that with the breath of God, he helped hang the moon, the stars, created the heavens and the earth, and he created man and he put him in the garden. And that man is sitting on my well, and her response to him is, "You don't have a bucket." See, what she doesn't know is all he's got to do is speak to the water and the water responds. Come on, somebody. All he's got to do is command and a bucket is brought. He doesn't need your means of resource to make the miracle happen in your life. Some of you all need to hear that. You're waiting and looking for a bucket, and God said, "Go ahead and ask me. Go ahead and put it out there. If you want a drink, just ask me." She says, "But Lord, but you don't have a bucket." I want to say something prophetic to you this morning. I want you to hear this. I said it before. No bucket, no problem. Who can receive that this morning? No bucket, no problem. You're waiting on God to do it in the way that you think it needs to come to pass. And you're measuring God's ability by his lack and by your lack. And what he wants you to do is say, "Go ahead, ask me. Go ahead and ask me." Some of you are waiting on houses. Some of you are waiting on careers. Some of you are waiting on finances. Some of you are waiting on healing. Some of you are waiting on the next level in your life, but you are limited by the fact that all you see is there's no bucket. No bucket. He said, "Just go ahead and ask me. But if you ask me, it's not going to be out of a galvanized bucket. It's going to come out of you, because there is a river inside of you that if you will let me tap into it today, it will be an artesian well that will begin to flow from the inside out." We face life from the outside in, and God says, "I want to give you a drink, but I want to make you a well. I want to make you an artesian well. I want to take the lid off. I want to uncap your dreams. I want to uncap your bank account. I want to uncap your diagnosis. I want to uncap those things that have had you on first level thinking." Come on, is there anybody in the house that says, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink. But Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a Samaritan. You don't know where I've been. You don't even know who I am. You don't know where I've come from." Chances are, history tells us that she came to the well in the middle of the day so as not to face the other women, because she's had five husbands and the one she's with right now is not her husband. That she said, "Go call your husband." How many know there were a whole lot of covenants up to that time? Six is the number of man. How many know there were six water pots that were used for the cleansing at the water that he was going to turn into wine? It's the number of man's attempt to cleanse or fix themselves. I've looked everywhere for satisfaction and acceptance and healing and for just a drink. And it's left me empty and alone and unfruitful. He said, go call your husband. Not because he wanted to talk to through her husband, because he wanted to reveal to her that your source is not where you've been, but it's where you're going. Come on, somebody. And then he begins to talk to her about worship. She said, I'm so confused with this church thing. Come on. Anybody ever been confused with this church thing? Church hurt, church confusion, church, man, if we don't do it with lights, if we don't do it in holy jeans, if we don't do it in dresses, we don't do it, you know, we joke when we come in the morning, this morning, because we've got new sound system, and we've got new computer and all that kind of stuff. And I want to tell you, if we come in here and it don't work, I'm going to preach anyway, and we're going to sing anyway. If Jesus could sing and minister to the multitude of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, we can get it done without a microphone or a sound system. Because those things are just cultural. They're fads. They're ways of doing things now. But she said, your forefathers, they worship on that mountain. And our forefathers, they worship on that mountain. And there's a big gap between us. I mean, one of the most divisive things in our Christian walk is names on a door. Amen. Labels. Yeah. Labels divide us way more than they ever bring us together. Yeah. Amen. He said, darling, I just want to tell you, the time is coming and is now. And now is when the true worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. He said, there's a level of worship coming to her. There's a level of worship coming that's beyond your rules, your regulations, your cultures. It's going to exceed your cultural barriers. It's going to exceed your law. It's going to exceed where you've been. And what you've been, what you think has been excluding you, is about to pull you in such a way. Basically, he tells her, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. Today is the day I sit on your well. How many can remember the day that he sat on your well? Amen. Yeah. Come on. We never can do away with our experience of being born again. Right? Amen. He sat on my well one day when I was about 3-4 years old. You can believe it if you want to. That's why I have a heart for kids. I remember the moment when my mom began to share with me about getting saved. It was foreign culture. That was not the background we came from. But at that age of about 4-year-old, she told me about getting saved. And I got down off the table and I went into the couch where Andy and Tammy live right now. Against that wall, the wall was against that orange wall. If you all remember, the orange wall used to be in the living room when we were kids. The couch was against that wall. I got down on my knees at that couch and I said, Jesus, come into my heart. At 4 years old, I had no idea. That was some first level thinking, but it was a step in the direction that I needed to go. And I felt the call and the power of God on my knees at 4 years old as a little girl. And I knew that my life would never be the same. I didn't know how to get from there to here, but I knew if I could ever let that man sit on my well, that he could pull a river out of me that would be greater than anything that I could ever do and anything that I could ever produce, that he would bring a well out of me and teach me that worship is the key to the heart of God. Yeah. And so when we begin to read the book of Acts and we begin to read where God is taking the disciples, you got to have an appreciation for every name that's mentioned in there. And let me just read that scripture. Now that I've preached everything, let's just say you'll know it's in the Bible. That isn't even where I was going, but that's okay. Later, God's angel spoke to Philip. So I was setting a precursor for where I'm going. He had just been in a Pentecost with the Samaritans. The power of the Holy Spirit began to fall on the Samaritans, and they were saved and baptized and filled with the Spirit of God. In a Samaritan culture, God exceeds cultural boundaries. He exceeds our mindsets and our limitations of where He wants to take us. And so, later God's angel spoke to Philip at noon today. I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. We're going to get to Gaza. We might not get there today, so. He got up and went. He met an Ethiopian eunuch coming down the road. The eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, was returning to Ethiopia, where he was minister in charge of all the finances of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. How many know he had position? He had responsibility, and he had power. He was the director of finance for the queen of Ethiopia. Keep that in your mind. He was riding in a chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, climb into the chariot. King James says, join yourself to his chariot. Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you're reading? He answered, how can I without some help? And invited Philip into the chariot with him. The passage he was reading this, as a sheep led to slaughter, and quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent, saying nothing. He was mocked and put down, never got a fair trial, but who now can count his kin since he's been taken from the earth? The eunuch said, tell me, who was the prophet talking about, himself or some other? Philip grabbed his chance. Using this passage as his text, he preached Jesus to him. As they continued down the road, they came to a stream of water. The eunuch said, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? King James says it like this, what hinders me from being baptized? He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off, and that was the last the eunuch saw of him, but he didn't mind. He had what he'd come for and went on down the road as happy as he could be. Philip showed up in Azotus and continued north, preaching the message in all the villages along that route until he arrived in Caesarea. There's a whole lot of things that I want to bring out about that portion of Scripture, but I don't want to belabor it this morning, but I want to go down, I want to share a few things. We have an Ethiopian eunuch who was in Jerusalem at the time of worship for the feast. He is coming back from there. He's reading the scrolls of Isaiah, and Philip is in the company of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Philip and tells him, go join yourself to that chariot. Philip doesn't know who the eunuch is. He doesn't know who this Ethiopian is. But how many know, we do know that he's being led by the Spirit. And I want to tell you this morning, God will speak to you if you will listen. Our ability to hear is directly connected to our hunger to hear. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. Our ability to hear from God is directly connected to our hunger to hear from God. I wish I could tell you I've always been able to hear the voice of God or that I always hear it. So give yourself some space. I wish I could always tell you I've always obeyed it. But how many know there's a learning process But I want to tell you, it's not just that audible voice that you hear out of nowhere. It's that still small voice inside of you that speaks to your mind or nudges your heart. When God puts somebody on your mind in the day, there's usually a reason. And I will tell you that if you will join yourself to their chariot, there are going to be many people who are looking for answers in your sphere of influence. Amen? There are going to be people who are reaching out, who are searching, who are trying to figure out who this Jesus is, that is looking for you or somebody to direct me to the next level of where I want to go. How many know he's gone to church? He's been in Jerusalem. He's got position. He's got, you know, all those things, but he's seeking this Jesus. How can I understand it unless somebody tell me? How many know the Holy Spirit will reveal to you who Jesus is, but the coming together in the house will cause the deep that is in you to come alive when you hear the word that is quickened to you? Amen? He said, go join yourself to his chariot. And when he goes to the chariot, he begins to just preach to him Jesus. He begins to share the gospel with him. And it so pricks the heart of this Ethiopian that he says, what hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me from that next level, that next step, that next calling, that next opportunity that God wants to put before me? What is hindering me? He says, see, there's much water here. Why can't I be baptized? What hinders me from making that next level step? And the scripture says that Philip takes him down into the water and they baptize him. He comes up in the spirit of that encounter and God pulls Philip to another place. Because guess what? There's going to be somebody else that Philip's going to need to join his chariot to. You think sometimes that when God lays somebody on your heart or you drop by with a peach pie or you send a card or you send a text or a message, you think it's random and you think it's just you on your mind. But so many times it's God placing you on their heart that says, I'm just going to reach out and say, hey, I got you on my mind today and I'm praying for you. Because here's the deal. If it ain't God speaking to you, what did you miss? We sometimes say, well, what if it isn't? Well, what if it is? What if God has placed somebody on your heart? What if God has sent you to a place for a time and a season? And so he baptizes this Ethiopian eunuch. And I'm just going to give you a precursor to where we're going next week, okay? So you got to come back and show up next week if you want to know what the next level of it is. He's from Gaza. Anybody know what's going on in Gaza in the Old Testament? Gaza is where they took Samson when Delilah sold him out. What I'm talking to you today is what hinders you from your next level. Sometimes it's the Delilahs in our life, right? Those things that want to zap your strength, those things that want to put your eyes out or take your vision away from you, those things that want to shave your head and take the strength that God gave you. Because you lay your head, in other words, your mind goes in the lap of Delilah, and she's a wicked city woman. How many know our soul is feminine? It's our psyche, it's a feminine. How many know it's our stinking thinking that will steal your vision, it will steal your strength, and it will steal your destiny if you let it. And if you find yourself caught in a cycle of grinding corn for the enemy, and you feel like you can't get loose or can't break free from that, Samson began to pray again. He began to remember, Jason, who he was again. And he got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he decided that the only way I'm going to go to the next level is to get out of the cycle that I'm in. And he begins to pray again. And he begins to call out to, he said, God, if you give me the strength, I will take down the very source of my imprisonment. And they take him to make fun of him and to mock him and to mock his God and to mock his strength. He said, take me to the pillars of the house. And when he goes to the pillars of the house and they begin to mock him, he begins to take the strength and his hair starts to grow again. While he's in that place of grinding and blindness and weakness, his hair starts to grow again. I want to tell you, the hair of the mighty man is starting to grow again. There's a new strength coming, I believe, to the men and women of God that said, you may have knocked me down, but you didn't knock me out. You may have stole my vision, but I'm starting to see again. You may have zapped my strength, but take me to the pillars of the house, because the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. God sends a Philip to the house of someone from Gaza and says, I'm going to baptize you because I'm getting ready to take you to next level. I mean, you know, what God does is send an Ethiopian eunuch down to the house of Candace, the Ethiopian from Gaza. Can somebody say infiltrate? God, through this Ethiopian eunuch, is about to infiltrate the camp of the enemy that has stole the vision, the strength, and the purpose. And God is about to cause Samson's hair to grow again. Hallelujah. As I was preparing this message, and I'm closing with that, as I was preparing this message, and I was thinking about praying over our children this morning, and our school teachers, and our leaders, and our all of our staff, whatever part you play, it is important. And it is a mission field. You don't have to step outside of Berkeley Springs to be on a mission field. If God has called you to the public school, it's a mission field. If God has called you into the workforce, it's a mission field. You're on a mission. And you need to join yourself to somebody's chariot and figure out why you're there. But what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in preparation, and as I saw all of those people, those kids and adults and stuff walk up the aisle, God said to me, go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm about to infiltrate the camp of the Philistines. I'm about to infiltrate the camp with people who are coming to an understanding of who Jesus is. When God places you, the scripture says he will place the solitary in the house. You might feel like you're all alone, but God has placed you in a season and in a place for such a time as this. You are forced to be reckoned with. And not just this house. I don't say that just over this house. There's many all over this community this morning, all over this nation, praying over the kids, praying over. Hallelujah. But if we want to see next level, it's going to come from a place where we start thinking, have next level thinking, next level praying, next level giving, next level action. Amen? Hallelujah. And I decree and declare, even this morning, hallelujah, that those things that have caused us to feel empty, trapped, blind, zapped of our strength, I declare that the power of God is being restored in our hearts, in our lives. And I empower this house this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, that you take us even as a body to the next level of what you desire. Nothing steals our vision. Nothing steals our capacity to be all that you have called us to be. Father, we surrender our hearts and our minds. We surrender our excuses. We surrender our buckets. God, because you don't act the way I think you need to act. You do so much better. You are exceedingly abundantly above. God, help me to quit limiting you by my thoughts of how you're going to do it. Hallelujah. We thank you for the power of your presence today, and we send everyone out of here today, Lord, that we might connect with the chariot of those that might see you in a greater demonstration, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If there's anybody here that needs special prayer this morning, you want to give your heart to Jesus, you need something in your life, we want to pray with you. Our altars are always open. All you got to do is come find your place in Jesus' name.